Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. This is Robert Holmes. Some of you know me as Bob, a Sylacauga native, and we're here in the Radio Alabama studios with the Bull Gap Journal interview. My guest today is Micah Harris. Micah, welcome.
Hey, Bob, thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you here.
It's my pleasure to be here.
on the journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. And today we're going to talk to Micah. Micah is the owner-operator of the local Chick-fil-A franchise or restaurant here. And many of you probably have seen him in and around the 280 location there where he and his folks hang out delivering chicken sandwiches and salads to us. But we're gonna focus a little bit on Micah as a community citizen at large, a leader here in the community. But we'll start out by you and Angela are here with your three children.
That's right.
And you've been here for how many years?
Well, 2018, Chick-fil-A in Sylacauga opened. Okay. 2018, which is mind-blowing. We've been here for 5 years.
All right, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was a path to get here. As I recall, we've talked and I did some reading. You were born and raised in Gardendale, Alabama.
Come on, Gardendale.
So let's take off from there. What
happened? Long time ago, right? I was born and raised in Gardendale. And matter of fact, my parents, who still live in the Fultondale area, homeschooled five kids. So
wow.
I was lucky enough to be one of those. lucky enough might be the wrong word. There were times when I really enjoyed it. Other times we won't talk about, right? But
So it's hard to storm out of the classroom, huh?
Listen, I got in trouble all the time. It just wasn't going to be a thing. My favorite teacher, though, is still my mom, so I guess that's something.
Okay, that's good.
That's all right. But yeah, in the Gardendale area, matter of fact, that's where I met Angela. She and I are both from that area. Her parents still live there to this day, and I began working for Chick-fil-A in Gardendale for my homes a long time ago, back in 2005.
But something got you to go to that Chick-fil-A to go to work. So
everyone loved that Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I think there was somebody that had an eye on you and sort of nudged you in that direction.
So that's right. Everyone knew the operator there. His name is Mike, and We recognize him as the chicken guy, which I have now adopted that title in certain circles. But yeah, Mike would come into the workplace I was at. I worked at a bookstore, Family Christian Stores, as a retail associate. And he was there all the time buying CDs, new material, loved to read. And so over time, I got to know who he was, who his family was. He always engaged in conversation. And he looked at me and said, "I'm not trying to steal anybody." He said, "But if you're ever looking for another job, I'd love for you to come work for me."
Good. Well, let's remember that because we may, as we go into our second segment and we're talking about influencers and things, we might go back and pick up on that, thought. So, Gardendale, high school, worked at the Chick-fil-A there, and then you found your way to UAB?
Yeah, from 2005 until 2012, I would say I just continued to work with Mike and homeschooled through K through 12, so did the whole thing. Started at Jeff State in my senior year of high school.
I was
there for a couple of years pursuing a degree in nursing. I was going to be an RN. Got through the first semester of Jeff State's nursing program and said, "I think I'm doing the wrong thing." I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I still look back on it well, and I think I did okay in classes, but I knew there was something about the autonomy that I saw Mike have in his business, and I thought, whatever that is, I want to see if I can get a little bit of that.
So it was just something where you were drawn to facing customers and entrepreneurship with
being your own boss a little bit really resonated with me.
Yeah. So we can't ignore the fact that Chick-fil-A is recognized for its culture. And, I read at one place where it's rated as one of the best places to work. I saw that in a minute. A place called Glassdoor that I think a lot of folks are familiar with, and they rate companies. So, so was this obviously a culture fit that you looked at?
I loved the local Chick-fil-A and their perspective on how they treated each other. That was obvious, even as a customer.
Right.
I walked in and recognized they enjoyed being around each other. That seemed new to me. I'd not experienced that before, so I love that aspect to it. It was fast-paced, and I probably have a little bit of ADHD in me, and so that fast pace really resonated as well. But I do remember recognizing that the operator, Mike, before I was an employee there and even throughout my tenure, really invested in his team members. He wanted to engage with others, invest his time, even his resources, in helping move them a little bit further towards whatever their career path was. So I remember seeing that as being very different from something I experienced before. Loved that. So the culture was a big piece to it for me. And of course, the values resonated well for me. Truett Cathy, when he founded his first business, even before Chick-fil-A, he made the decision to be closed on Sunday. He said, for a few reasons. He said he wanted to give his employees a day to rest.
Right.
That has become so helpful to us, as Chick-fil-A does, incredible sales across the country. But also to allow them to spend time with family.
Right.
Or to go to worship.
Important.
If they choose.
Yep.
So given those three reasons, that resonated well with me, to say there was intentionality behind it, starting from its inception.
Sure. So you've got, you started out with around 70 folks now, and that probably has wavered a little bit. How many folks have you got there now?
Around 60.
60, so okay.
60 employees. Yeah. A lot of our employees work more than they did before. So we have several that have either left high school and started with us years ago, or I think we still have 5 or 6 employees that have been with us since 2018.
So I read one news article that said on your opening, it was the largest grand opening in the Birmingham area. So
yeah, for our region, we're really grateful that the community
that was huge.
Showed out. That was, we hadn't expected it, I'll tell you that.
Right.
No, we were super encouraged to see that reception from the community at large. And even to this day, we still have people.
Well, I still, when I drive by, I mean, it's not diminished. I see the lines wrapping around the whole parking lot, there. So,
man, we're certainly grateful for that.
So did you, did I read somewhere where you engineered this double avenue approach and folks, coming out to the car and sort of getting the pre-orders ready?
Well, the word is innovating. Yeah, we did. We stole an idea, which is what I like to do. Stole an idea that I've seen many successful operators across, not just the Birmingham market, but across the country. They really positioned us well to use technology, leverage that, and to use that process to our benefit here in Sylacauga, where we opened up 2 lanes of traffic, and there was a learning period of getting our guests to come with us on this journey of driving around the building. I don't think that wasn't an easy change at first.
Well, logistically, you've got a challenge there.
It was a challenge to say the least. Oh, yeah. And it went so well. Our team members really embraced this idea for efficiency and accuracy.
Now, you didn't steal that idea. That's called benchmarking.
I like that. Listen, hold on.
That's called benchmarking. So
exactly
you benchmarked off of a good practice and process that
standing
you saw
on the shoulders of giants. That's right.
That's right. We all do. You know, we learn so much from other folks. So, best place to work. Obviously, this is not wasted on the folks that work there, because they generate that kind of enthusiasm and positive presentation, especially when it comes to presenting what you do to the customers, so.
Well, I count myself very blessed to work with the people that I do. Our local residents and employees in Sylacauga have been, outstanding, more than I could ask for. They're ambassadors is a word that I like to use.
Right.
Because they take on this pride, not just for the brand, but even for Micah's family. And you can't pay someone to do that. That's a special person that does that.
So I've noticed that you invest in your folks. You mentioned that a minute ago, and scholarships for furthering their education, whether it's a let me let you talk about that.
You're exactly right. Over the last 4 years, we've seen $38,000 in college tuition or secondary education scholarships to our team members here in Sylacauga, Fayetteville, Childersburg, and surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. So that's been an amazing contribution. As a matter of fact, we think about how we can continue to bridge that gap of high school to secondary education and make it accessible to our team members, even if they don't have plans to move away, to go to Jeff State or Jacksonville. So adding a new benefit this last year has really taken off well. We've partnered with Point University for an online college degree program, either a 2 or 4 year college degree program that team members can have access to for free. A lot of the books are free. They do have to purchase some of the materials, but we've probably got 8 students taking advantage of that right now.
And where is Point? I mean, if they're doing it remote.
Georgia.
It's in Georgia.
Yeah, so they actually their homecoming is coming up soon. So if you're enrolled at Point University,
go to homecoming, man.
You could go to the homecoming football game.
Man, that is super. Now, a lot of your folks probably do education here locally, either at CAC, at Central Alabama Community College, or other places. And have you got a program to do tuition assistance with them?
As a matter of fact, we're working with Point University and trying to bridge the gap between how a student could maybe leave CAC when they're finished with their 2 years there and then turn that into a four-year degree through Point University. And that's a great point.
Good deal.
So between that and really turning on the faucet for investment in retirement to those that want to retire and put into our IRA that we have set up for them, as well as some PTO, some paid time off benefits, we recognize that quality of life piece has to be a part of the conversation.
So another thing that I'm hearing here is that you invest in your folks to explain some life planning, some financial planning, making IRAs available to them. I mean, you know, listen, when I was 17 or 18 years old, I was still a blind dog in the yard trying to find stuff at times, you know. So the fact that you invest in your people at such a young age, I think is very, very important.
So. And I'm really proud of those that have really taken advantage of it and taken it to heart. I've got to work with someone back in Naples, Florida, who did the same thing, asked for advice when she wanted advice.
Right.
And today she's a full-time teacher down in Naples, Florida. She used to work for me as an employee, and to see the progress she's made and the life that she's done is incredible.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that you did take a detour through Naples with a franchise there, and then did some time at corporate Chick-fil-A, where you actually, I think, taught leadership skills and leadership development
as well
for
as
the company,
ran restaurants across the country.
Yeah,
so
good
got
deal.
To go to seven different places.
Good deal. Well, so finally coming here to Sylacauga, you're maybe taking a little bit of a rest, but I don't think so. I see the energy that you're putting into the place.
Busy.
So.
No,
a lot of good
busy.
Things happening.
And my family's so glad to be back. Angela and I have been together since 2009. We've been married since 2009, together since about 2005. So we're grateful to get to raise our kids back home in Alabama. Yeah. That was a big part of why we wanted to move to Sylacauga.
Well, I think Sylacauga's lucky that you settled here, so with all the things that you do for us. So.
And we're certainly grateful for that.
Good deal. Hey, we're talking to Micah Harris, the local operator, owner of the Chick-fil-A restaurant here in Sylacauga. We've been talking a little bit about the impact that one, Micah has personally as a leader in the community, but you know, primarily that comes is his positioning as a business owner here in Sylacauga and what got him here and the contributions that his company Chick-fil-A and he makes to the community. We're going to come back in the second segment, and we're going to spend a little time drilling down into more of the personal side of Micah, and we're not going to ignore Chick-fil-A, but we're going to drill down into the personal side to talk about leadership and values and things that are important in life. So come back and join us in the second segment of the Bull Gap Journal. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. Today, Micah Harris, community leader, and a lot of folks know Micah from around here. He's the local owner-operator of our Chick-fil-A restaurant out on 280. Is joining me. In the first segment, we talked about Micah's path to here with his family, Angela, and their three children, and how he came to be and settle on a location in Sylacauga, and we're glad he did. This segment, we're going to talk more about personal notions, about leadership, the values that are important to leadership. And I'm going to start out with this question. Are leaders born to lead, or do they learn to lead?
It's been my experience, so I can speak for me personally. Yeah. That usually it is something that early on I had an inclination for. I really wanted to be the loudest voice in the room, whether that was for leadership reasons or for being selfish. But I knew early, even at church, I remember going, I'd like to do that. Like, that guy's up there talking, I think I could do that. So I think there was an inclination at first, but certainly I also believe there's the concept of leadership or greatness thrust onto someone where they step up in the moment, and those characteristics that they didn't realize were so valuable, those traits they didn't know, those wake up. So in my own experience, I knew that it was something I wanted to do.
Wanted to do it. Yeah. So you had some behavioral personality characteristics, that may have led to your effectiveness one day or not as a leader. So
I was also one of five children. I was a middle child.
All right.
So I remember trying to keeping the peace was important in my home. I loved the idea of, you know, resolving or at least hiding conflict and bringing others together. And I think as a leader, I saw being able to read a room and being able to see what someone was thinking and how I could help bring them to resolution that became.
All of those things are very, very important for effective leadership, effective team building, organizational behaviors. So, no, I totally understand. So you're saying in your point of view, it's maybe a mix. Some things that you're gifted with at birth, or they come about as just, you know, your personality and your behavior, but there is a point in time where, the rubber meets the road, and you got to buckle down and learn the principles of leadership and how to apply them.
And that's what I was going to touch on, is I recognize there have been seasons in my leadership where I went, I am not doing what I'm supposed to. I'm not adequately leading at the level I need to. And I think that was a big learning moment to go, what got me here isn't probably what's going to get me to where I want to go.
Well, listen, I can totally relate to that. Because I've been there.
That's right. So so a little bit inherent, but a little bit learned.
Yeah. So as we talk about leadership, what values, what characteristics or attributes do you, I know it's all over the road and there may be a list of 25 things, but if you had to narrow it down to three important characteristics or values for an effective leader, what would those three? I'll even give you four, but what would those three or four be?
Let's take it with three. I can come up with innovation being a word that I threw out casually earlier. I've thought about that a lot recently. That has to be on the top of my list for characteristics I look for in up-and-coming leaders. Mm-hmm. Someone who has a passion for a devotion to looking for errors, looking for ways to make something more effective, more efficient, maybe even the pursuit of excellence as one way to look at innovation. So that's a characteristic that we look for, because that's more difficult in my experience to teach. That's something that if that person is naturally bent towards innovation, that one is a big one for us. Right. So I think about that one for sure. Adaptation, being able to quickly move between. As a matter of fact, I think about how most great leaders you come up with, we could think of a characteristic they have, and more often than not, they're going to have a diametrically opposed characteristic on the other side of that that balances out the first one. If you're a fantastic saver and not good at, really good at saving your resources, well, as an entrepreneur, there are going to be times when you have to really invest heavily, really spend a lot.
Take a risk.
So it's being able to do both. But I do think about adaptation being the other one to shift priorities and be able to move quickly between that that next goal. And then the last one is discretion. And I don't mean not speaking about something. I mean the freedom to make a decision in the moment and avoid some sort of decision paralysis, being able to recognize that regardless of what choice I make here, with the information I'm given, it may or may not work out.
Right.
And that's okay to move forward with, but we need to be getting on with it.
Sure.
If the product is ready to ship, we need to ship it.
Got it. Yeah, I've seen people who will freeze in the moment and just can't make that decision. And once the decision's made, again, may not have thought through all of the unintended or either intended or unintended consequence of that. So
that's right.
You've got to be a degree of discretion. Is what I'm hearing there. So
and those are certainly learning moments, but probably sure. not the characteristic of a great leader that you would think of to not be able to make the call in
right.
the moment.
Right. Well, sometimes you don't have time. You got to go with your gut.
That's right.
And I've seen that, but there's still, even in that, I think there's a depth of awareness and understanding from the things you're saying that you're even equipped to make that decision when it has to be made. You know, I'm the kind of person that sometimes likes to mull things over. It's my basic personality trait. So a lot of folks will say, well, just make the decision. Well, if nobody's shooting at me and the building's not on fire and nobody's going to jail, then I'm going to take a minute and think through this. Okay.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, if a decision needs to be made, then like what you've said, then I'm going to make the best decision based on all the information that I have. So I think that's where we are. So
among our circle of leaders that I've worked with in the past, we use this idea of discretion to say, if we are doing our best, we have good right. intentions, and we're using the information available to us, you might decide plan A, but I might decide plan B.
Sure.
We're both making good calls here, though. Flip a coin at that point. If we're really that locked, make your case.
Yeah.
But one of the two is going to probably end up working. Maybe both would be okay.
Yeah.
And that's that freedom of being able to say, I need to make a decision. I'm out of time. Here's the right. deadline. Let's move forward.
Right. So so with your team, you've got a leadership cadre at Sylacauga Chick-fil-A. Do you, and I'm going to ask the question, and I think I already know the answer, but do you allow them this freedom of discretion and expression?
I like to answer this question.
I'm
torn because of how it may make me sound.
Yeah,
you ready?
I got it.
When team members...
Well, I'm trying to put you on the spot here.
Oh, good.
So that's
when
good.
Team members or customers come and ask me something specific about an area of our restaurant... I think about, you know, whether a scheduling decision can be made or what's our policy on
right.
this. I have shaped the policies
sure.
at one point. They get reshaped over time.
Yeah.
But then I put someone in charge of that area. So, for example, our general manager, think about Michael. Once Michael's been given responsibility for that area, I direct people to Michael. I even will use the phrase, I'm not the right answer. I'm not the right person.
Yeah,
to answer
no,
that.
I totally
not,
understand that.
I'm not the boss
that.
In that area.
Nope.
You need to go talk to Michael. He's the boss.
Absolutely.
I think about our marketing director, Macy. Macy doesn't call me to run by, you know, donation requests.
Right.
She has the responsibility for that area because my mindset on it is, I want people who are thinking more about their individual area of responsibility than I could ever think about all the different individual
right.
areas.
Good. That's. I was anticipating your answer, in that, and so I wanted to sort of pull the thread on that. So,
absolutely.
And it's important to teach that. And if things work the way they're supposed to, then they learn and they teach that to someone else when they're in a position to be in your position.
That's right. And the bottom line there is that when something falls through, and inevitably it will, that the buck does have to stop with me.
Yep.
That I'll be the one, I'll be the one making the phone call at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at
right.
night. I'll be the one running up to the store to make sure that something didn't happen. Because, in essence, while I've given them my authority, it'll still come back.
That's right, and that's important. When you can delegate certain responsibilities, ultimately the authority at the top still rests with the girl or guy on top.
That's right.
I got it. So I totally understand that. We talk about mentors in influencing people, and you had one in your life that pointed you in this direction. How important is it to, as an emerging or growing leader, or even a leader in midstream, how important is it to find and seek out a mentor?
I can't imagine that I would have the opportunity to be here with you today, mm-hmm. to be a franchise owner with a brand like Chick-fil-A, if it hadn't been for the initial investment put up, the time and the
right.
and the development initiated by Mike and several others along the way. Crucial. So in one word, absolutely crucial. I guess that's two words. But I'd also like to add to that how important it is to recognize that we individuals, as an imperfect leader, do have a responsibility to continue to invest in others, to act as a mentor, not a perfect mentor. It may not even be in a formal relationship as a mentor, but to begin investing in others as someone had taken the time to invest in us.
Sure.
Pay it forward might be another way to talk about it.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. And so I do today like to continue to invest in not just the leaders I have influence with over at the restaurant, but also through SAFE's Workforce Ready program once a week.
Right. I knew you did that.
With that group there because I've been asked, why do you do this? You know, I don't get paid to go do that on a weekly basis. But the answer is because somebody once took a chance on a 15-year-old market.
Sure.
I had not earned that responsibility or that opportunity.
Yep.
But they made that gamble and it paid off for me.
Good. So you just said, this is going to be my last question here that I'm going to sort of take you into, and you referred to this 15-year-old Micah that got some advice. So right now, what would you tell a young Micah or a young lady who's 15, 16, 17 years old, what would you tell them today based on what you've learned?
The advice that I give to young team members working in our restaurant on a pretty regular basis, I'm becoming the older guy who just gives advice whether they ask for it or not. The best advice I can and offer them is, one, not be caught up with a long-term, I must know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life plan. I hear too often, you know, team members, high school students talking about, well, I don't even know what college degree to go for, so I want this or I'm not going to that. I don't know if I'm even going to attend college. Super. But let's just do something now. Maybe you only do that for a few years, but not be paralyzed by that decision. So I would have given myself that advice early on. The second one would be have fun in what you're doing right now. If you can't find a way to enjoy it, first of all, there's some limited creativity on your part. I can find a way to enjoy things I don't like. So I would tell them, secondly, to enjoy what they're doing, find a way to enjoy the people they're doing it with, that you're going to find a lot more success and a lot more opportunities for someone who's doing what they enjoy. So I'd leave them with those two pieces. Don't get too hung up on what the details of the future are going to be. Let's just start moving towards something now. Be active. And the second one is find a way to enjoy where you are right now. The journey's a lot better. It's going to be hard.
Yep.
I hated hearing from adults, just wait till you get in the real world. The real world was hard. The real world was hard when I got out of high school and college. But it was as hard as I could have handled in high school and college as well.
Good point.
I think it's so defeating when we tell them it gets worse. Well, yeah. Maybe, but you're going through some stuff right now, and that's okay.
Good. Good advice. Thank
you, Bob.
Listen, Micah, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it. You know, I value your friendship, and so I do appreciate the visit today on the interview.
I really mean
thanks this. So much for sharing.
Really honored that you thought of me. Thank you for doing this, and thank you for what you're doing. I really enjoyed listening to the journal.
This is fun for me. And to talk about life, leadership, and common sense, that's what an old guy can do.
I love it. Fantastic.
Hey, listen, and thank you for joining us on the Bullcap Journal today. And our guest has been Micah Harris, as we talked about, his job, which is the owner-operator of the local Chick-fil-A, but more importantly, his life as a leader and community citizen and importance to not only his family, but to the rest of us here in the Sylacauga area. Thanks for joining us. Bull Gap Journal, we talk about life, leadership, and common sense. If you like what you've heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap and you can learn more about the Bull Gap Journal.